Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Excited Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Success Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Successor Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Success Gospel Bus here on the Success Radio Network, here on the Wednesday night Bible study, brought to you again, once more, by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. Entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the old gospel bus tonight?
Well, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, we have you and me. Hello? Okay. I just wanted to be sure because I couldn't hear you very well. Okay. Jake, a prayer request now? All right. Okay. I guess I'll just pray for lost souls.
And then, of course, do you still hear me, Ruth?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, and then, of course, Ruth and her Bible prophecy, where are you taking us tonight?
Since the fathers fell asleep.
Ooh, sounds pretty good. And then, of course, at the end, we'll have, of course, open mic for anybody that has any questions or comments. So let's get started with the program tonight. Amen.
Amen.
God sent his son to call him Yeshua. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I
face tomorrow. Shalom from the Sea of Galilee. I am so excited to announce April 7th is the resurrection premiere of our Live at the Garden Tomb, featuring a beautiful presentation from the town of Jesus, Capernaum, and greetings from my friends around the world. So join me this April 7th on my YouTube channel, our Garden Tomb Live resurrection premiere. I'll see you there.
Thank you. This is my story. This is my story.
song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Blind man in the bleachers for the local hometown fans. And he sits beneath the speakers, way back in the stands. And he listens to the play-by-play, just waiting for one name.
He wants to hear his son get in the game. But the boy's just not a hero. He's strictly second team, though he runs each night for touchdowns in his daddy's sweetest dreams. He's gonna be a star someday, so you might never tell, but the blind man in the bleachers knows he will. It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home, and no one knows why the blind man didn't come. And his boy looks kind of nervous, sometimes turns around and stares, just as though he sees the old man sitting there.
The local boys are trying, but they slowly lose their will.
Another player's down and out, scary. The kid goes off alone, and no one sees him talking on the phone. And the game's already started when he gets back to the team, and half the crowd can hear his coach yell, well, where the hell you been? Just getting ready for the second half. All his faith, 'cause now you gotta let me in the play. And without another word, he turns and runs into the game. And through the silence on the field, loudspeakers call his name. It'll make the local papers, how the team came from behind when they saw him playing out.
And when the game was over, the coach asked him to tell, what was it he was thinking of that made him play so well? Well, you knew my dad was blind, he said. Tonight he passed away.
It's the first time that my father's seen me play. It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home, and no one knows the reason.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have, or regarding the programming here, or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week, by calling 424-243-9617, and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. River takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name. Oh,
Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. Acts chapter 9 and verse 18.
And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized.
And you notice it says here that this person, being Paul, the apostle, who ended up being the apostle Paul, but it was Saul of Tarsus, he had been blinded, but after his conversion, when he was healed, there were scales taken off his eyes, and he received his sight, and then he was baptized. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. Amen.
And though you were perfect and holy, Let me hide myself.
no sad goodbye will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore.
Stop it. commitment and they go, go, go. Doing that church hop. Doing that church hop. Once you get started, you just can't stop. Don't you be doing that church hop. 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 Once you get started, you just can't stop.
Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there. This is Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is law. Law. Hebrew word for no. And again, that is law. L-A-W, law. And again, it's the Hebrew word for no. Psalm 14, verse 1 declares the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And again, the Hebrew word for the week, this week, is the Hebrew word for no, which is law. L-A-W, law. This has been Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. Till next time, God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network Thank you very, very much.
Back through the years I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece we loved, she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness, and I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, while as rich as I could be, in my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich, and I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me why she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me, made just for me.
Thank you. drunk up all the way down to the very last drop. All the water in the well to swirl by. And I had found myself a looking at the bottom of the well, and my soul was stone bone dry. For just one drink of living water, my soul began to cry. And as my prayer went on up, Jesus filled up my cup, and I just came by here to testify. Oh, it's so cool.
Water. Whoever drinks that water. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk. and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Theory. Well, Anyone that ever studied in college much in the way of science remembers Ernst Haeckel's biogenetic law, the theory of recapitulation, or as it is familiarly called, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, which is to say that the development of the fetus within the womb of the human mother goes through all of the stages of the phylum. It is one cell, they say, and then multicell, then it is fish-like with gills, and then it is ape-like with a tail, and finally it becomes a human being. And it recapitulates all of the supposed stages in the supposed suppositious evolutionary history of man. Well, this theory was set forth by German professor Ernst Haeckel back in the last century. Haeckel was one of the avid supporters of Darwin. However, when his sketches of the fetus were carefully considered some years later, as more information about the fetus became known, it was seen that they were distortions. And then it was determined that they were intentional distortions. And Professor Haeckel was tried by the court of the University of Jena, where he taught. And he was found guilty, and he, quote, contritely confessed his forgeries, which had been made to supposedly support the doctrine of evolution. And furthermore, he said that he would be utterly condemned if it were not for the fact that he knew of numbers of other scientists who had done the same thing. And yet still, millions and millions of students for over 100 years have been taught the recapitulation theory and that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny and that the growing fetus in the embryo supports evolution, which is a deliberate lie. And then, of course, there is the most famous hoax of all time, the famous Piltdown Man. You may recall that in 1912, Arthur Smith Woodward, director of the Natural History Museum of London, and Charles Dawson, a physician and amateur paleontologist, discovered in a gravel pit in Piltdown in Sussex, England, a skull which appeared quite human, and a jawbone. And the jawbone, however, appeared quite simian, quite ape-like, except for the fact that it did not have the large ape teeth that an ape jaw should have. And it was quite brown-looking. It was obviously very, very old. And it was hailed as Eoanthropus Dawsonac, the Dawn Man, the premier missing link. And for 40 years, millions of students looked at pictures of the reconstruction of the Dawn Man. I have pictures of him. He's quite a fine-looking fellow, a little bit brutish, perhaps. But his figure adorned every museum in the world. And here was the missing link. And, of course, 40 years later, after the discovery of the fluoride test, they tested the skull and jaw for fluoride, and they discovered that the skull was not 500,000 years old, as reported, but was only 2,000 years old, and that the jaw was only several dozens of years old. And then they examined it under a microscope and found that the teeth had been filed down carefully to resemble human teeth, and the whole thing had been stained with iron salts and bichromate to make it appear very old, and it had been planted to be found, they assume, by Dr. Dawson, who became famous for Eoanthropus Dawsoni, a hoax which was used to move millions of students away from a belief in the special creation of man. A complete fraud. These were deliberate frauds, as was another fraud which might be mentioned. It's called the Orgule Fall. It is a meteorite that was discovered in southwest France 5 weeks after Pasteur, in the last century, gave his great demonstration and speech, which demolished forever the idea of spontaneous generation of life. And the evolutionists were so panic-stricken by the fact that their idea of spontaneously generating life had been destroyed that somebody supposedly discovered this meteorite, and in examining this meteorite, they found that it had under its surface living organic material. But 100 years later, almost, they have now found that this was very ingeniously contrived, that somebody had moistened the meteorite, placed, softened it up, used some sort of a glue as a bonding agent, placed the organic material into the meteorite, covered it over, heated it to resemble the heat of the Earth, and had pawned it off as saying that there is still hope for a natural evolution of life because it must have arrived here via meteorites. Another intentional fraud carefully perpetrated upon your children. And then, of course, there was the famous Scopes trial. And most people don't realize, but the most damaging piece of testimony in the Scopes trial was when Clarence Darrow put William Jennings Bryan on the stand, and the two lawyers went at each other, and Darrow, who was an atheist and an evolutionist, said to Bryan, "Did you realize that in your own home state of Nebraska, there lived a whole race of men 1 million years ago?" And Bryan said he didn't realize anything of the sort, and he didn't believe it either. And so Darrow brought Dr. Henry Fairfield Osborne to the American Museum of Natural History, the most respected paleontologist in America at the time. And he testified that just 3 years prior to that, in 1922, evidence of a whole race of men had been discovered in Nebraska 1 million years ago. Well, Bryan was dumbfounded. And that was published all over the world from that. Well, when some scientists began to find out just what this evidence was, it proved there was a whole race of men that lived 1 million years ago in Nebraska. This evidence was discovered by a man by the name of Harold Cook. And so the find was properly christened in scientific terminology, Hesperopithecus haroldcookii, meaning Western ape man. They found that the evidence consisted of one tooth. Now, I didn't say teeth or jaw or skull, but one tooth. And then sometime later in the same area, they discovered another identical tooth. But this tooth was connected to a jaw, and that jaw was connected to a skeleton, and the skeleton belonged to a pig. Or more accurately, an extinct pig or peccary. And as Dr. Duane Gishas said, that it was neither a man-like ape nor an ape-like man, but an extinct pig. And he says that he believes that this is a case in which a scientist made a man out of a pig and a pig made a monkey out of a scientist. But my friends, may I point out to you that there were drawings and reconstructions that appeared in textbooks in our schools and models in our museums that showed Hesperopithecus haroldcookii in all of his glory, sitting around the fire with his family and his dwelling with a club over his shoulder. The whole fellow, there he was, decked out for everybody to see. And all it was a pig's tooth. A whole race of men living 1 million years ago in Nebraska? In a pig's eye. Or should I say tooth. And then, of course, there is the famous Pithecanthropus. And every student going to college felt that he had finally arrived when he could just say Pithecanthropus. It has such a nice ring to it. Pithecanthropus, which, of course, literally means ape man. And Pithecanthropus was discovered by Eugene Dubois, who was a Dutchman that went from Holland to Java for the purpose of discovering an ape man. Now, it does say something about scientific objectivity when one travels halfway around the world to find an ape man, and voila, he finds an ape man. However, he wouldn't show it to anybody else. all he would do would show them a plaster model that he had supposedly made from this skull. He found a skull and a femur, a bone from the leg. And it was very obvious from the leg bone that this was human, and the skull bone was very obviously simian in nature. And so here we have Pithecanthropus, the ape man. But Eugène Dubois failed to tell the world certain things. He failed to tell them that the leg bone was found about 100 yards downstream from the skull bone. He also failed to tell them that at the same level as the ape-like skull, he found two other skulls called Wajek 1 and 2, which were purely human, having a cranial capacity of 1,550 and 1,650 cc's respectively, which is probably more than most of us have. These two very modern human skulls found at the same level of Pithecanthropus, the Java man, Dubois kept under the floorboards of his bedroom for 26 years because he knew that if he revealed that he had found these at the same level, that they were obviously contemporary, one with the other, and that Pithecanthropus could not possibly be the progenitor of man. And finally, before he died, he admitted the whole thing and even concluded himself that the skull belonged to a large gibbon and was not any ape man of any sort whatsoever. It is important, I think, to go to the etiology of a matter, whether it is a disease or a movement or a philosophy. What is the cause? What lies at the root of it? Evolution has produced some incredible results in the 20th century. It has been, without doubt, the most influential theory in the 20th century. What has it produced? One, it produced Nazism. Darwin wrote a book, The Origin of Species and the Survival of Favored Races. It was but a small step for Hitler, who was a zealous evolutionist, to go from the survival of the favored races to the dominance of the favored race, the super race of the Aryans. Mussolini continually spouted the evolutionary catchwords. He was a zealous evolutionist who mocked at the idea of peace as being something inimitable to evolution, and that war would speed up the process of evolution, which was the highest goal in Mussolini's mind. Think of the desolation of the Second World War. Is this a trifling matter? Or remember that Karl Marx was so enamored by evolution when he read Darwin's book that he felt that he had discovered a scientific foundation for communism. Since communism and all other atheistic concepts do not believe in a creator, they are forced to a naturalistic evolutionary explanation of the world. And Marx felt that he had found that in Darwinianism. He was so enamored with it, in fact, that he offered to dedicate his book, Das Kapital, to Charles Darwin. Fortunately, Darwin's wife had the good sense to urge him not to accept the honor. But communism today is fully based upon evolution. And I was reading the writings of a minister in Asia who said that when the communists came in and took over their village, they immediately began to give them instruction, all of the people, in what? In evolution as the basis for communism. Not only do we have that in the Eastern world, but we have in humanism, secular humanism in America, which is based firmly upon evolution. So much so that the Humanist Association named as the Humanist of the Year Carl Sagan for his 10-part series on evolution. And the first 2 points of the Humanist Manifesto deal solely with evolution, stating that man is a natural product of his environment and that he was not created but evolved. So we see that whether we're talking about Nazism or fascism or communism or humanism, that evolution is the singular pillar which holds all of them up. And my friends, more than that, what else has happened in this century? We have in our own country and around the world a tremendous sexual revolution that has taken place, where anything goes. First, we saw that there was pornography, and then there was adultery, and then there was incest and homosexuality, and now we find bestiality as well, and every kind of sexual immorality, giving rise to an absolute epidemic of venereal diseases, so that today there are 25 transmissible venereal diseases that are abroad in our country. What led to this? Well, let me let you hear it from a very prominent atheist and evolutionist. You see, evolution gets rid of God, and therefore it gets rid of purpose. Because without God, there is no purpose in the world. There is probably no term that is more anathema to an evolutionist than the term teleology, that anything has purpose. Though the eye may appear to have a purpose, it has no purpose. It just is here by chance. There is no purpose. If there is no purpose, there is no meaning. And if there is no meaning, then obviously anything goes. There are obviously no moral absolutes. Aldous Huxley, author of The Brave New World, leading atheist and evolutionist, said this. Notice this carefully. I had motives for not wanting the world to have meaning. Consequently, I assumed that it had none and was able without any difficulty to find satisfying reasons for this assumption. For myself, as no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation. The liberation we desired was simultaneously liberation from a certain political and economic system, that is capitalism, and liberation from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom, unquote. That's Aldous Huxley, who gave us our Brave New World. Or let's hear it from another of the famous Huxleys, Sir Julian Huxley, who was the grandson of Thomas Huxley, who was known as Darwin's bulldog. Sir Julian was, of course, the head of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization. He was probably the leading evolutionist in the world. 10 years ago or so, I heard him on a television talk show, and I was amazed by what I heard him say. Listen to this. He said, "We all jumped at the origin, that is the origin of species, which sold out its first edition in one day. We all jumped at the origin," he said, "because, why? What would this great scientist say? Why did they jump at the origin?" Well, we may finish that sentence by saying, because the scientific evidence objectively gathered was so overwhelming and compelling that we were forced to admit the scientific credibility of the theory. That's not what he said. This is what Sir Julian Huxley said. "We all jumped at the origin because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores." Scientific fact or great hope? Objective scientists or con men? Well, my friends, I'm happy to report that never in 125 years has evolution been in such total disarray. They are in nothing less than a rout. And famous scientists around the world are awakening to the fallacy of the whole thing. They are calling it a fairy tale, a myth, stories ingeniously concocted, a hoax perpetrated upon the youth of the world. But the results of this hoax have been disastrous beyond the ability of mankind to compute. The truth is that there is a Creator who has made us and who has sent His Son to redeem us, and that those who will trust in Jesus Christ, the living, risen Savior of the world, will find forgiveness for their sins, the gift of everlasting life, meaning for their existence, a purpose for living, and an ultimate and eternal home in paradise. What a difference in the future which is offered by each. May we pray. Father, we thank Thee that Thy truth will last forever, that all of the errors and falsehoods of men cannot destroy it. We pray that some who may have been deceived by this lie will return to the God of truth who created them, before whom they one day will stand, but who has sent His Son to redeem them. In His name we pray. Amen.
Now it is time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
To trust and too tired to pray, said one, as the overtaxed strength gave way. The one conscious thought by my mind possessed is, oh, could I just drop it all and rest? Would God forgive me, do you suppose, if I go right to sleep as a baby goes, without an asking if I may, without ever trying to trust and pray? Will God forgive you? Why think, dear heart, when language to you was an unknown art? Did a mother deny you needed rest or refuse to pillow your head on her breast? Did she let you want when you could not ask? Did she set her child an unequal task? Or did she cradle you in her arms and then guard your slumber against alarms? Ah, how quick was her mother love to see the unconscious yearnings of infancy. When you've grown too tired to trust and pray, when overwrought nature has quite given way, then just drop it all and give up to rest, as you used to do on a mother's breast. He knows all about it. The dear Lord knows. Just go to sleep as a baby goes, without even asking if you may. God knows when His child is too tired to pray. He judges not solely by uttered prayer. He knows when the yearnings of love are there. He knows you do pray. He knows you do trust. And he knows, too, the limits of poor, weak dust. Oh, the wonderful sympathy of Christ for his chosen ones in that midnight tryst, when he bade them sleep and take their rest, while on him the guilt of the whole world pressed. You've given your life up to him to keep, then don't be afraid to go right to sleep.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the message between that song and poem is saying that even if you're too tired to pray and you fall asleep, that God's still understanding.
Now, are you sure 100% that that's your final answer?
You're bad. You had to do that like Yogi Bear, didn't you? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that time.
Well, you were 11 for 14, but now you're 12 for 15, because you got that 100% correct. When you're too tired to pray, God understands, and you just reach out for that great big hand. Amen. And that's exactly what we were looking for. Amen.
Well, that time I did reach it for God's great big hand, because I wasn't 100% sure on that one, which I also saved my tail from Dad and from 6-2 this week. I wasn't blowing no buzzers up this week. I didn't have to make 6 spend any money.
Amen. So now we'll see if you can continue that nice, good roll yet and get it into next week, as she is still continuing to challenge for the lead here. So far, if she keeps it up, she'll be in the lead in challenging Pastor Bonnet. And we'll see how she does next week as we continue with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
I believe that we are living in today's John Rover. tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darker than.
Tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken.
And the seven miles are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is since the fathers fell asleep. This is the first scripture in the New Testament, which pretty much explains what we see going on in the world today on a universal scale. It concerns those people who do not believe in the second coming of Christ. It's relative to scoffers who are saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Of course, now this is 2 Peter 3 and verse 4 in your King James Version Bible. Jesus Christ had an encounter with the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day, and he discussed with them the fact that they could look in the evening, and if they saw the sky was red, then they knew it'd be fair weather the next day. Also, if they saw the sky was red and lowering in the morning, they knew they were going to have foul weather. It's obvious they agreed with him relative to these atmospheric conditions. Then he tied them up in a ball of yarn by asking them the question, oh, ye hypocrites, you could discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Matthew 16 and verse 3. I so persuaded my heart to do this lesson concerning a number of the simple everyday signs of our times so you can intelligently be watching for Christ's second coming. And so you will have at your fingertip conversational material to engage your fellow man concerning Christ's second coming. One of the unmistakable signs of our day is deceptions. There's a great amount of deceit and misrepresentation, not only in the business world, but in the social world, the economic world, and even in the religious world. Pick up the so-called church page of the weekend newspaper, and many of the advertisements are bathed in deception and hypocrisy, with each one claiming to have the key that unlocks the mystery of the ages. Some advertisements are downright blasphemy and carry nothing but the curse of God upon them. And two, the international religious world is flooded by hordes of so-called men of the cloth who are nothing more than ordinary crooks, highway robbers without guns. That's why the Bible says we should try the spirits, we should examine the men and women who supposedly are preaching the gospel in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Jesus warned that days of deception would come. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5 in your King James Version Bible. I declare unto you that gross, worldwide deception in every facet of our world's existence is on the rampage. This is one of the signs of our times. Jesus said unto the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day, can you not discern the signs of the times? Another situation prevailing on an international scale, and possibly we here in the United States of America are more conscious of it than other countries, is the fact that these are false Christs roaming the avenues of everyday life. These are men who claim to hold the key of God's word, hold the key of man's redemption, and men who claim they have been personally sent of God to oversee the religious world. Men in all classes of religion and at all levels, local, national, and international, the Bible says these are false Christs. Scripture, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:5, King James Version. Possibly you can name from one to a half dozen such instances, that have taken place within 20 years of your lifetime. Men who, when they pulled up to their churches or headquarters building, had the red carpet rolled out and the humble peasant, everyday working man, bowed as it were when his so-called highness went striding by. Please bear in mind, I'm not picking a fuss with anybody. I'm merely pointing out that on all levels, these false Christs insist on pawning themselves off as an unsuspecting public. This is part of the sign of our times. Next situation I want to point out to you is the one concerning wars and rumors of wars. Jesus Christ, in his Olivet sermon, made these predictions, and I'm only picking them out of the Bible to refresh your memory. Wars and rumors of wars, what did Jesus say about this? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Matthew 24:6-7, KJV. And since I'm coming up with a lot of these scriptures in Matthew 24, also read the whole chapter 25 of Matthew, too. It's extremely enlightening. Pick up the morning newspaper, and I dare say you can turn four pages unless you read something about war or rumors of wars. Try it sometime. I'm a woman, and ever since I've been able to remember anything on a national level, various presidential candidates have been promising peace. I've seen a lot of them come and go, and they've all been striving for peace, and still we have no peace because we do have wars and rumors of wars. This condition is one of the signs of our times, and Jesus reminded the Pharisees and Sadducees that they were able to tell the atmospheric conditions, but he asked of them, can you not discern the sign of the times? They couldn't. Plus, they were sad, you see. Another situation which Jesus Christ emphatically stressed as being one of the signs of our times was the worldwide condition of famine, which would overtake mankind in the last days. Many of us have thought that possibly droughts, crop failures, supernatural intervention with the growing of food might become the factor to bring about such a shortage of food as described in the scriptures. But it's becoming more evident day by day that the overpopulation growth may figure in a prime manner in this whole affair. First of all, let's see what Jesus said about famines. Scripture, and there shall be famines in diverse places. Matthew 24:7, KJV. John, writing in the last book of the Bible, has this to say about famines, because remember, the book of Revelation is God's message to mankind. Okay, here's a scripture. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Revelation 6:5 in your KJV. Simon Peter prophesied that in our day and age, there would be cousins of the Sadducees and Pharisees who would deny the signs of the times, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 2 Peter 3:4, KJV. First situation I want to call to your attention is that Jesus, in his Olivet sermon, predicted that in the end of this age, pestilences would sweep over mankind. And we sure see them now. There's a lot of people poor, and they hardly have anything to eat. Scripture, and there shall be pestilences in divers places. Matthew 24:7, KJV. The word pestilence is mentioned in the Bible 47 times. It first appears in the books of Moses, and every reference that I have carefully checked, pestilences have been unleashed upon people as punishment from God. We have every reason to believe that because of man's gross negligence of God and his word, when the world moves into the finality of this present age, God is going to send various pestilences upon mankind as punishment. I would think even the COVID-19 mess could be part of that. Examine the record of diseases in the world. Look at the multiplied billions of dollars spent on research with the scientists endeavoring to find out what causes certain diseases. Today, we have high-powered sprays. The cities and the municipalities, as well as the county health departments, spray various areas and endeavor to wipe out certain potential diseases or breeding places for germ-carrying insects. Those insects have gotten fat on what they've been sprayed with, and now man is almost at his wit's end corner because he doesn't know how to combat the different pestilences that strike year by year. Well, what about the Egyptians? They had problems with bugs, too, and they had all kinds of little plagues with frogs. And so, you know, we might end up with some of that. Ask the poor farmer what causes his corn to curl up and rot before it's harvested. Read a farm journal magazine sometime if you think farming is a cinch. My grandfather had a 100-acre farm. It's no cinch. No, pestilences are increasing, and they will continue to increase in number and in severity until such time as man will be plagued as he has never been plagued before. This plaguing of pestilence is to reach a climax in the 70th week of Daniel, commonly referred to by Bible students as the tribulation period. Read about seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. Read about men being covered with noisome sores. Read about the rivers becoming a blood of dead men. Read about the locusts attacking the foliage of the fields. Now, we don't have to worry about this. We'll already be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb because we got to go through our judgment seat of Christ, and then we're in the marriage supper of the Lamb, so you don't have to worry. Now, pestilences is one of the signs of our times and indicates the lateness of the prophetic hour in which we live. When Jesus Christ spoke his famous Olivet Discourse, and he pointed out deceptions, false Christ, wars and rumors of war, famines, and pestilence, he was able to look down through the annals of the time, and he knew what would plague mankind in the end of the age prior to his second advent. May we wake up and realize that the thing we need to do above every other thing is to make sure that our hearts are right with God and our lives are being lived according to his directive will. May God give us the grace to say yes to him and be willing to conform to his plan for our lives. Please remember, he asked of the Pharisees and Sadducees, can you not discern the signs of the times? They didn't discern the signs of the times, but we had better discern the signs of our times. Next time I want to talk to you and to your attention is the increase of earthquakes. 50 years ago, you seldom heard of an earthquake. And it's true, the medium of communications was in the infancy, and news traveled slowly. But today, there is an earthquake of a good size happening almost every week somewhere in the world. They say California is going to go straight to the ocean. They said that in my college class. Practically every issue of the paper you read where some scientist or some group was predicting a major earthquake. California seems to be the pet target for all of these prophecies of scientific destruction. But yet, in the last few years, there have been earthquakes in Italy, Turkey, Australia, just to mention a few of the places, and of course, let's not forget California. Jesus emphasized that before the culmination of this age, there would be earthquakes in diverse places. Matthew 24:7, of course, in your KJV. Of course, now we know why earthquakes happen. The scientists have ingenious explanations. But in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. That's Deuteronomy 32:22 KJV. In other words, the inner core of the earth is a fire. And it's gradually burning outward, gradually consuming the inside of the earth and the tremendous extreme weights and pressures of the mountains are gradually shifting, and thus the top of the earth is being altered, and the result is earthquakes. The grand day of all earthquakes is recorded in the book of Revelation. It's almost too awesome to read because when you compare it with the tiny little earthquakes we're having today, almost impossible for the human mind to comprehend the devastation which will take place on an international scale when the major earthquake of Revelation actually happens. Don't worry, we'll already be gone. Scripture. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the cities of the nations fell, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Revelation 16, verses 18 to 20, KJV. So, earthquakes are one of the signs of our times, and you cannot deny the scientific and biblical fact. A sign which is seldom mentioned in relationship to the second coming of Christ is offenses or crimes against one another. The Bible describes the situation in the following scripture. And they shall be, many shall be offended. Matthew 24 and verse 10, KJV. These offenses come both to the believer as well as the unbeliever. Matthew further comments on this situation by saying, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Matthew 18, 5 through 7, of course, your King James Version Bible. Most church splits start over a simple little offense where some person lords it over another. Some Christians are the most cruel people in the world with their tongue because they're glory in offending one another. Offenses become one of the signs of our times. I've seen several church split for certain reasons like that. Yep. The most unpopular thing I want to mention in relationship to the signs of our times having a direct bearing upon the second coming of Christ is betrayals. In the same verse of Scripture where it talks about offenses, also talks about betraying one another. And they shall betray one another, Matthew 24, 10, KJV. It's true Jesus was talking to the Jews of his day in his Olivet Discourse. As he was there sitting on top of the mountain east of Jerusalem, he was prophetically looking down through the annals of time and seeing not only what will happen to these his brethren, but he's projecting his thinking and is able to speak and announce to the world for all posterity what will befall mankind in the end of the age. Betrayals reveal one of the signs of our times. Do you remember 50 years ago, some of you 60, 70, maybe even 80 years ago, when a person's word was their bond? Yes, I have known that. My family was like that. Nowadays, you can't trust anybody. True. Nowadays, people will come to you and they will say, I'm going to tell you something, but don't you tell anybody. But if you do tell, don't tell them I told you. Gossip. Sinful. Now, isn't that a funny kettle of fish? Mark, the second writer of the Gospels, emphasizes this sign of betrayal in this manner. Now, the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Mark 13:12 in your KJV Bible. This is actually a prediction of households being divided because of Christ. Don't you know of households today which are divided because some of the members of that family are Christians and other members are not? It might seem like a simple thing, but whenever relatives betray other members of their family simply because they are Christians, that is truly apostasy at its height. I declare unto you that betrayals constitute one of the signs of our times and indicates the day in which we now live and points to God's prophetic clock as fast approaching the midnight hour. Here it is. The next day, which I want to, or next thing I want to point out, okay, is one you see everywhere. You see it in all walks of life on the international realm, down to the national, the state level, the county level, the municipality level. You see it in corporations, companies, places where only a few dozen people work, and you even see it in the home or in the domestic unit. That sign is simply old hatred. Speaking of this, Jesus said, and they shall hate one another, Matthew 24:10. This word hate describes an affliction which has caused more damnation in the world than practically any other satanic quality. Paul the Apostle, writing in the little book of 2 Timothy, clearly outlines human nature in detail. encompassing hatred in what he has to say. Here's the scripture. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy. I see that around here now. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. May I suggest you read verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 of that chapter also. Have fun, read the whole thing. May I further suggest you not get the idea I'm a fanatic about the signs of our times. I'm not. It's true, I'm labeled by some evangelical teachers as a nut when it comes to the prophecies of the Bible, but I'm going to look at these situations because Jesus Christ gives me the full authority to do so. Why do you think, he said to the Sadducees and Pharisees, oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Matthew 16:3. That's another chapter to read. Good for you. It's lots of fun to read the Bible. I'm not going to have Christ call me a hypocrite because I chose to go through life not interested in the signs of the times, leading a so-called nominal Christian life. I'm going to become interested in the things around me, ever alert to what's going on, because I know this is according to the will of God. If some of you want to be like the people Simon Peter speaks of, go ahead. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as if they were from the beginning of the creation. 2 Peter 3:4, King James Version Bible. All things have not continued as they were from the creation. The next sign we want to expand has to do with false prophets. We could write a term paper talking about this one sign, because if you were an evangelical believer, if you're halfway conscious of what's going on in the so-called religious world today, you can name half a dozen of these false prophets right off the tip of your tongue. Yeah, Jim Jones is one of them. Some of them have vast empires built up, and they're blaring forth over TV and on some of the world's key radio stations. Naturally, the unbeliever doesn't know the poison they spew forth, but nevertheless, they are spiritually and religiously contaminating the world's population with their so-called gospel venom. On the other hand, some good Christian people who have had an experience with the Lord, but really who have never grown deep into the world or word, take a little bit of gospel these false prophets use to preserve their spiritual garbage, and they think they're real preachers of the word. Well, you got to watch. You better be called of the Lord first. Okay, 7 years ago, our ministry received one-tenth of an estate of a dear man who outwardly had the appearances of being a fine Christian. He sat in my office one day and talked with me about biblical things. He asked me about preparing a will. I sent him to a Christian attorney. That's the last I heard of him for about 2 years. Then we were notified he was deceased, and this ministry was named in his will. Imagine my surprise to find a false prophet and his organization likewise named in the same will, who also received 10% of the $250,000 estate. Wow, that's something. That's why the Bible says we should try the spirits and see if they be of God. Jesus in his Olivet sermon said, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11. Also in the same sermon, Jesus further emphasized the danger of the false prophets by saying, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great things and signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:24, KJV. So great and powerful is the work of the false prophets in the last days. The Apostle Paul speaks about the future satanic antichrist being ushered in on the world scene amid power and signs and lying wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Relative to the same thing, John, in the last book of the Bible, says, amid these great wonders, the ultimate false prophet, the satanical anticipated one prophesied by John, making fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's Revelation 13:13, KJV. So beware of false prophets. Beware of who you support over radio, TV. Beware of whose publications you subscribe to. Beware of voices coming into your home through the means of radio and TV, and the publications you leave lying around for the members of your family to read. You could very well unknowingly and wisely be giving a false prophet access to the hearts and minds members of your own household. In a situation which is a proof positive that the signs for Christ's second coming are in the final stage of fulfillment, is the one relative to lawlessness abounding. Jesus, in his Olivet sermon, said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Matthew 24:12, KJV. I need not labor this point too much, because bona fide evidence of lawlessness, which is disregard for law and order, is evident in all of us. We who have been preaching the prophetic word of God for any length of time have been saying over the years that we'd finally arrive at such a day and age as we now experience. The reason being, prior to the Olivet Sermon of Christ, he had occasion to confer with his apostles one day, and in the course of his discussion he told them, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Luke 17:26 in your King James Version Bible. If you've ever gone to Sunday school half a dozen times in your life, you no doubt know about the conditions that exist in the days of Noah before the famous flood. The people in that day had a tendency to reject God. There was undue prominence of sex activity. Homosexuality was prominent. Marriages and divorce prevailed. Various inventions, which the Bible says that were a whoring after. Apostasy prevailed. There was rejection of Noah's message, which he preached. Violence and bloodshed were rampant, and anarchy and lawlessness prevailed throughout the antediluvian world. The Bible says, "Wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Genesis 6:5, KJV Bible. So I declare unto you an absolute unmistakable sign of the nearness of the end of this age, an abundance of lawlessness prevailing in every segment of this world's society. Another sign that we seldom hear mentioned in religious circles as pertaining to the second coming of Christ is anti-Semitism. When Jesus Christ was speaking in his Olivet sermon, he was talking to his brethren, the Jews. He said unto them, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." That's Matthew 24:9 in your King James Version Bible. It's a historical fact that Adolf Hitler exterminated between 5 and 6 million Jews during the powerful reign of Nazism in Germany. Other countries have been instrumental in this type of purging, and in recent years we have seen how the Soviet Union has gradually clamped down on the Jews within her borders, making them low-rate citizens and refusing to give them visas to return to their national homeland. It's true, this isn't something that gains the headlines every week in your local paper, but yet it's a condition that exists in the world, and we cannot overlook it, because the Israelites are spoken of in Scripture as my brethren. Jesus was referring to his own bloodline kinsmen. Anti-Semitism is one of the signs of our times, and it will get worse as we approach the ultimate climax of the age, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Jews are to become a hated people in the end of this age. As further evidence, mankind now lives in the end of the age and the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Jesus Christ, in his Olivet sermon, said one of the signs for the end of the age would be a decrease in love or a lack of the manifestation of it for one another. Please bear in mind, Jesus said the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24:12. I know the ultimate prophetic fulfillment of this portion of Scripture has to do with the Jewish people during the tribulation period, or the commonly referred to 70th week of Daniel. But you'll find all of these situations have their beginning earlier in the church age and begin working up in magnitude until the time of finality. Love of man shall wax cold. Have you ever seen in your span of life where there seemed to be a lack of genuine love and interest in each other that prevails today? I have unfortunately feel that people don't care about anyone. Only Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, and true Christians care. Look at the divorce rate, how it's climbing. Note how the various governments in the various states are making it easier for husband and wife to sever their marital relations. Pretty soon, at least as I expect it to be so, when a couple gets their marriage license, they go ahead and fill out the divorce permit same time and have it on file so they can just phone in the complaint later on. It's heading in that general direction, fast as it can go, because love, genuine love, is decreasing all the time. Next, I want to briefly mention another factor, and I think it's one of the most convincing signs of our times that we're living in the end of this age, immediately prior to Christ's second coming. Yay! Can't wait. It concerns the increased preaching of the gospel. If you ever thought about that, Jesus in his Olivet sermon said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." That's Matthew 24:14, KJV. Okay, please don't forget the great power of the printing press. The Word of God is printed in over 1,600 different languages, multiplied millions, and I think I'm safe to say multiplied trillions of copies of the scriptures are all over the world at this very moment in different languages, so hungry eyes can be filled upon the bountiful table of God's holy word. Printing presses in our ministry, well, we don't have printing presses exactly, but we have a computer that has a lot of website on it, yeah, even though I'd love to get a printing press. Anyway, so I say increased missionary work, increased preaching of the gospel over the radio and through the printed page is an unmistakable sign we live in the days immediately prior to Christ's return. Don't you think so? I surely do. These are tremendous days, the finest days of opportunity for Christians to invest their dormant money, when in reality we'll hasten the coming of our blessed Savior from heaven to take his blood-bought church unto himself. Ooh, I was so excited. Read that 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, and you'll really get excited. Why don't you let God speak to your heart? Or don't you believe the signs of our times? Remember, he's only coming back for those who are looking for him. My friend, don't procrastinate no more. Don't take any more chances with the eternal welfare of your soul. Don't be lulled to sleep in the rocking chair of lethargy and someday find your last opportunity has been expended and you're left all alone to your eternal destiny in a devil's hell. These are tremendous days. God has men on the radio and TV doing their best to warn you that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He was buried, resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of God, ready to forgive you of your sins and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's coming back. I pray, God, you'll be ready, because all the signs of our times tell us we are living the evening of man's day. God's overall plan is being worked out in minute detail for the return of his Son, take over the controls of this world, and bring in everlasting peace. Make sure you figure into God's plan. And I'm going to do a little prayer. Dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart now so I'll be ready to see you in the rapture of the church and I'll be honored to be with you in eternity. Thank you for saving my soul. And if you prayed that, amen. And if you prayed that, you're ready for Jesus to come, and that's what I'd like to see. And the next lesson is the 10 virgins.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLYNESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind,
P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we have with us here as we pull into the station with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus?
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, Emily, you and me.
All right. Well, now that we got Sister Emily, any prayer requests you've got for us about the program?
I better behave over here, Kenny, because I was being bad while Rui was on you.
All right.
For my neighbor, Gail, she hurt her back. For me, I'll put it this way. A 6 would say for the entire mankind, that covers everything.
Amen.
All right. And Ruth, anything you may have missed?
I'm just praising the Lord that I've been doing better, but I'm still having a lot of problems with my knees. I'm supposed to go see Dr. Gordon. He might do some injections again. But I'm putting that off for the present because I got so much. I just want to get it done around our house here and stuff. So just, Lord, help me finish it all. So we want to pray for Emily, and I know she's been a little worn out lately, and she's been busy and her mom, and just any lost souls that are out there, and that's about it.
And just want to let everybody know we had a great anniversary today and had a great show on our anniversary, and we were glad to be with everybody live. This was not a recording. This was live tonight. And so we're just glad to have everybody with us who enjoyed it. Those who listened later, as they listen later on from all the other countries that will be listening to us via iHeartRadio and all the different apps and through Blog Talk. So we just want to say God bless everybody. And so I want to see if Emily wants to give us the honor on our anniversary of giving us a closing prayer as we get out of here. And want to invite everybody tomorrow night on Thursday for the Truth of the Matter at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Kenny, also there was a couple things I forgot as far as prayer requests for our station, for Six, Nikhail, the entire crew, Brother and Sister Quick, Pastor and Sister Bonnet, for our ministry as well.
All right. Well, would you honor us with the closing prayer?
Yeah, I can behave tonight. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast, and Lord, I ask you if there was any lost souls out there tonight hearing us, that they would surrender, reeling up the white flags and saying, I yield, I yield, giving their life over to you, God. I also ask you for the residents and patients at nursing homes, hospitals, all our first responders, our team here at Six Eyes Radio, and for our ministry and our need for our bus. I ask you also to be with me this week as I go through some tests, that God would lead and guide the hands of the doctors. Continue to be with me after this bone marrow transplant, Lord, that things would continue going well. And I ask you, Lord, all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. We'll catch you tomorrow. Good night.